All right, I'll ask you, if you will, to turn your Bibles to Proverbs in the third chapter, verses 5 and 6. It'll be familiar scripture with you and one that we'll look at this morning and probably next week because I won't get through with this, I'm sure, today. Proverbs in the third chapter, acknowledging Christ in all your ways is predominantly what the message will be about, but we'll break it down as we go along and we'll touch on the different things that it brings to mind as we read these two passages of scripture. It's very concise, as Proverbs is, you know, a few lines holds such, truth in them and pointed truth. It doesn't beat around the bush. It goes right to the point when you're reading Proverbs. So you don't have to guess a lot about what it means. God gives us instruction from His Word in Proverbs, the third chapter, verses 5 and 6. He said, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths." Now, that sounds simplistic as we read that and we look at that. But as we look at it further, we see that all put in there, it really puts pressure on us as children of God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, not just some of your heart, not just some of the time, but all the time. And one of the biggest things that keeps us from doing that is the second part of that, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. So we have a promise of God there, and there's some conditions applied to that, but you know what? The grace of God enables us to do what He's commanding us to do in this particular passage of Scripture. We have a lot of different Scriptures basically say the same thing in different ways. New Testament Scripture we'll get to eventually, but we want to look at that and look at what it has to say. Arthur Pink had wrote a short article on this, and I used that for an outline. He said, "We are frequently the losers through failure to observe the order in which divine truth is set before us." And that's so true. A lot of times, and I've been guilty of it as a pastor getting ready to preach a sermon, when I want to get to a particular passage of Scripture, I'll read quickly to get to it, and that loses the context a lot of times of what it's really saying. So really, what he's saying, we need to really concentrate when we're reading the Word of God, take it in. That's why we're told to meditate upon the Word day and night. As we meditate upon it, the Lord brings the thoughts to our minds, the Holy Spirit does, and brings truths to it that we perhaps didn't think about when we readily read it, although our intentions are to read it and understand it. When we meditate upon it, we really begin to understand it more. That's what he's saying. We're frequently losers through failure to observe the order in which divine truth is set before us. For example, how obvious is the progression to be observed and how necessary it is that we should lay to heart the fourfold admonition of Psalms 37, 3 through 7. If you'll flip over there, you're going to see that it sounds really familiar to what we just read in Proverbs, and we'll break it down as we look at that too, but it expounds a little bit further on some of the things that are connected when God tells us to trust or delight or commit ourselves to the Lord. Psalms 37, 3 through 7 says this, "Trust in the Lord and do good." So we see even from Proverbs something added to that. "Trust in the Lord and do good." In fact, the business, when I read that, I think of, you know what, I can't do any good unless I trust in the Lord, because we were talking earlier when the deacon and I are sitting up front, we're doing a lot of talking. we think about trusting in the Lord and do good. The only way I can do good is through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because He said, "Without me, you can do nothing." And then that principle holds true when we think about what Proverbs says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. That goes together. And it takes us a lifetime to embrace and understand that Christ is our life. He's our completeness. He's everything, and He wants us not to do some things on our own and just trust Him with the larger things in life, but to constantly trust Him and come to Him with every issue of life, both good and bad. And we'll see again what Paul admonishes us to do about that too. Psalms 37, 3 through 7, trust in the Lord and do good, dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. That's a great promise there. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, just a reminder of what He said at the beginning, and He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light. If you didn't know, you have righteousness. It's Christ's imputed righteousness, but now that becomes my righteousness because I'm joined with Him. And so it's a personal thing now to me. I can't be a part of Christ and be excluded from Him. So the Lord in His wisdom is letting us know that we were one time, as we said last week, and in Romans where it says none doeth good, there's none righteous, no, not one. We are now moved from that stage by the grace of God through the blood of Christ, and we're now God's righteousness in His Son. We can never leave that out. We understand it's the righteousness of Christ, but we also understand it embraces me, that I need to embrace that. We talked about we were God's special treasures. That's part of embracing that, but also understanding what we've been brought from and never losing sight of that. We can never lose sight of that. If we do, we become self-righteous quickly, if we forget what God has done for us. So He says, commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. There's a lot of admonition in there, but we see a lot of information also, very much like Proverbs. Breaking it down, in the first verse 3, he said, trust in the Lord and do good. Delight yourself also in the Lord. Commit your way unto the Lord and rest in the Lord. We see the order coming down through there, which is very significant. And we'll look at that too as we look back at Proverbs. He says, so it is in the book from which our text is taken. These Proverbs are not so many principles strung together at random, but instead they are presented according to a divine plan. We would expect nothing else than to see the order being a divine plan. Why? Because we serve a God who is a God of order. God created the world and set it in and set it up just like He wanted it to. He's not going to wake up tomorrow morning and say, you know what, I think I'll have the sun set in the north and come up in the south. He's not going to change. We know that with His creation, and we could go into all kinds of things of why He has it that way. Scientifically, they've proven it's a purpose in all that. You know, it keeps everything like it should be. But scientifically, we look at where the earth is and in proportion to the sun and all the rest of the planets, and we're in the perfect spot to do what we do. God has ordained that to be so. And so we rejoice in that, and we see that He is a God of order that helps us to understand that this divine plan, if He does that for His creation, how much more will He do that for His creatures or those that have been bought by the blood of Christ? So we see the progression. We understand that. But as finite creatures, we need to be reminded, don't we, from time to time, that God is a God of order. That helps me in my life. I'm all the time talking about the sovereignty of God, and we're blessed to have some understanding of what that means. That always centers me quicker, I guess, or as quick as anything, thinking of God's in complete control. You know, I can watch the political arena, for example, without getting political. And, you know, we have to turn it off every now and then. We get a little irritated by what we hear. But when we remind ourselves, God's in control. This wouldn't be happening unless God allowed it to serve his purpose. Brethren, that just calms me right back down. God's in control. Well, if he's in control of that and I can see that, certainly when I go to the Word of God, he's in control of my life. That ought to help me in understanding that these scriptures are not beyond me to do, that they're for me and for my good to fulfill what is to be fulfilled in us, and that's to bring glory to the name of God. That's the only reason you're here on the face of the earth, is to glorify God. So when we understand that there's a divine plan in his word, when we read that, we can read that with a better understanding. That goes to that acknowledging part, that acknowledging the scripture, or acknowledging what God would have us to do. He said, the more they are prayerfully pondered, that is the word of God, the more will the wisdom and love which lie behind their arrangement be perceived by the anointed eye. I like the way he said that. You, as a believer in Christ, have an anointed eye. You can see the word of God and understand spiritual truths where those that are not born again cannot and will not understand them. You have an anointed eye. The Holy Spirit guides us in the way of all truth. That's just another way of saying that. And again, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is a case in point. Well, let's look at the first verse in Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Brother Joey, that's impossible. No, with God, all things are possible. It says we can do that. Do we do it? No. We contend with the flesh. We contend with the sin in our lives and Satan's wiles. And as much as we're trying to trust in the Lord with all our heart, we find ourselves when we're sinning, we're not trusting in the Lord with all our heart. So we need to go back to that. So, well, the Lord would have me to trust in him. So we repent. That's the reason we repent. Because we want to do what the Word of God says, right? That's what God commands us to do. If God commands me to do that, when I see all that he's done for me, I willingly want to do that. Even though I find myself falling short, I still desire to trust in the Lord with all my heart, because there's no one else to trust in with all my heart. They let me down. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. This comes first because it is the primary duty. Without this, everything else is vain. Everything else is vain. We're going to place our trust in something. When we read the Word of God, we find that the Lord is that constant, never-changing someone that will never fail us. Reading again this morning, get the Grace Gems in the devotional. Charles Spurgeon had this. Here is a constellation of wonders. We talk about trusting now in the Lord. He uses the scripture, Ephesians 1:7, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. How is it that we're able to trust in the Lord? That's what he does for us. He saves us from our sins. He forgives our sins, past, present, and future. And so we're confident that we can trust in him, that he's not going to change. The Word of God tells us, I change not. And so we know when he says a thing, he said he's come. The prophecy was that he's come to save his people from their sins. The Bible doesn't lie. And so we embrace that. We begin to think about that. And we see what that means as we trust in the Lord with all of our hearts. And so we're trusting in the Lord. He said, could there be a sweeter word in any language than the word forgiveness when it sounds in a guilty sinner's ear? Can it be possible that sin, such heinous sin as mine, can be forgiven, forgiven altogether and forever? Hell is my portion as a sinner. There is no possibility of my escaping from it while sin remains upon me. Can the unfathomable load of my guilt be removed? Can the crimson stain of my sins be blotted out? Can the unbreakable stones of my prison house ever be loosed or the doors be lifted from their hinges. Jesus tells me that I may yet be forgiven, forever blessed by the revelation of redeeming love, which not only tells me that pardon is possible, but that it is secured to all who rest or trust in Jesus. I have believed or trusted in the appointed sin-toning sacrifice, even Jesus crucified, and therefore my sins at this very moment and forever forgiven by virtue of his substitutionary sufferings and death. What joy is this? What bliss to be perfectly pardoned soul. My soul dedicates all her powers to him who of his own unpurchased love became my surety and wrought out of me, out for me, redemption through his blood. What riches of grace does free forgiveness exhibit? To forgive at all, to forgive fully, to forgive freely, to forgive forever, here is a constellation of wonders. When I think of how great my sins were, how dear were the precious drops which cleansed me from them, and how gracious was the method by which pardon was sealed home to me, I am in a maze of wondering, worshiping affection. I love the way that he says things. I am in a maze of wondering, worshiping affection. I bow before the throne which absolves me. I clasp the cross which delivers me. I serve henceforth all my days the incarnate God through whom I am this day a pardoned soul. Romans 4, 7 through 8 said, blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will never account towards him. That's what trusting in the Lord is about. So we trust in the Lord, and that's the first part of Proverbs 3. Trusting in the Lord with all of our heart, that's our primary duty. He goes on to say, trust in his loving kindness. Can he who is loved withhold anything which is really for your good? And the answer will certainly be no, he will not withhold it. Trust in his wondrous power. Is anything too hard for the Almighty? No matter how critical your situation, trust in the Lord. Trust in his unchanging faithfulness. Has he not promised? Then will he not perform? Has he not said? Then will he not also do it? It reminded me of Isaiah. We've quoted this scripture many times in Isaiah 46. Remember this and show yourselves men. Recall to mind, O you transgressors. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. And he goes on to say, indeed, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. Amen. We have the word of God that tells us what God will do. He says, I'm unchanging. I'm all powerful. I'm in complete control. And not only that, I'm going to fulfill the purpose for which I desire to do. And we're a part of that plan and we're part of that purpose as his people. So he goes on to tell us, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And then to do that, he gives us the second part of that verse, and lean not to your own understanding. Some people have the idea that God saves us and kind of leaves us alone, and we're kind of, you know, you got a mind, you use it, and you know, God saved your soul, but you know, he gave you a mind to do this and mind to do that. In other words, they kind of separate, and this goes back to the Lordship and his being Savior. It's all tied together. Just say it in a different way. It's kind of like he saved your soul and you're kind of on your own more or less, and he's going to bring you home, but you kind of, you know, you're smarter now and better off. But that's not the way it is. See, that's leaning to your own understanding. That's the very thing that got us in trouble to start with, is leaning to our own understanding. Romans 3, it tells us all about what we are when we lean to our own understanding. And that's even before we're saved. Even after we're saved, we're still not to lean to our own understanding. Pride is never very far from us. It's innately in us, in the flesh. It wants to claim, it wants to do, it wants to exert itself. We may not call it pride after we're Christians, but we use pride way too much in our language. We shouldn't. You know, you look up pride, do a word study one day, you'll never see one thing that says it's good, it's always bad, it's always a negative when it talks about pride. If we're to be what some people say prideful, the Bible changes the word pride to glory. We're to glory in the Lord, not be prideful in the Lord. We don't have anything to be proud about. We're sinners by nature, deserving of hell and damnation. And that's why the Bible says if we're to trust in the Lord with all our heart, we cannot lean to our own understanding. God, as He saved you, has done away with that. We don't have to do that anymore. We don't have to pull ourselves up by the bootstraps. We don't have to bear up under something. We have a loving Savior who says, come to me and I'll carry your burden. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. That's what He's saying. As we learn of Him, we won't lean to our own understanding. We'll lean to His understanding. We will then exercise ourselves in the mind of Christ, because that's what we have. We have, the Bible says, the mind of Christ. But we need to understand that, and we need not lean to our own understanding. He said this comes next to put us on our guard concerning the principal enemy of faith. What is it? It's self, isn't it? The very thing that Jesus said before He says you can either be a disciple, and He said, what? Deny what? Yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. We can't follow Him without denying ourselves. We can't take up our cross without denying ourselves. Lean not to your own understanding. Just as we cannot serve two masters, so we cannot trust in the Lord and lean unto our own understanding. Again, Jesus in the prayer, in His Sermon on the Mount, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, and lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. This is exactly what He's saying, and just another way of saying it, when He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. You cannot trust in the Lord with all your heart as long as you're leaning to your own understanding. As long as you think you have strength to do something for the Lord. I can't do anything for the Lord. But the Lord can do much through me. A big difference in what your understanding is of that. I cannot do one thing for the Lord. And if I'm leaning to my own understanding, I'm trying to serve two masters, and I can't do it. He says it's an impossibility. No man can serve two masters. He said, what Jesus is saying, that is impossible. You can't do it. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, mammon there being money in this particular instance, but you could put anything, the world, sin, anything you want to put in there. It's the same thing. It's still a master over you if you're yielding to it. And he goes on to say, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than raiment? He talks about the birds of the field and how He takes care of them. He said, how much more I will take care of you, amen, O ye of little faith. He puts that in there. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. It is a word of warning against the habitual tendency of our evil hearts. That is a tendency that we have even as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, is to lean on our own strength and not lean to the strength of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which he told us we need to do. He's not suggesting that we do it. He's commanding that we do that. And so we need to understand it in that realm. He said to rely upon our own wisdom, to follow the dictates of common sense, is the chief obstacle in our way against wholehearted trust in the Lord. And I'm telling you, we spend a lifetime getting there. But the good news is we spend a lifetime getting there. That's the good news. We're striving to get towards that end. Then he goes on to say in the next part, he says, first, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Not in some of our ways, not in the majority of our ways, not in 99.9% of our ways, but 100% of our ways. Trust in God. He gave us that promise. He said, I'll take care of you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Come unto me, all you laboring and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Every promise that you want to read in the Bible concerning believers in the Lord Jesus Christ is that God will take care of us. We sing the song, God will take care of you. Peter said that. That's where we got that from. Cast all you care on, for he cares for you. Over and over and over again in the Bible, he constantly tells us, trust me, I'll do what I say I will do. And we know that as believers. We're old enough to know. We've lived enough life. And although experience is not what you rely on the Word of God. Experience is something we still look at and we learn from, isn't it? That when I trust in the Lord, I see Him taking care of me in spite of my circumstances. There's been times I didn't trust in the Lord. I made big decisions and I reaped the consequences of it. I quit a job one time because I thought they ought to thought more of me than they did. And I went into the car business. I had no business in doing it. And from there, because I couldn't hack that, I went to another place in Montgomery. It was one of the worst places I ever worked in my life. But I had to go through that to purge out that I was leaning to my own understanding. And the good news, God took care of us even in the midst of all that. Even in my disobedience, God blessed means to be met. It doesn't mean I didn't have to reap what I sowed. He doesn't just wipe that away. It'd be nice if it was just all wiped away. But that's how we learn, isn't it? That's how we learn what the Proverbs is telling us, to trust in the Lord with all your hearts. You see, I stepped aside and made a decision in the flesh, and I reaped the consequences of the flesh. Doesn't mean God's still not going to take care of us. It just does mean I'm going to have to reap what I sowed. And I did. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. This goes much further than trusting in the Lord with all the heart, though of necessity it must come before that. Unless our hearts are completely occupied with God, the acknowledgement of Him in our outward ways will be nothing more than a superficial, indifferent performance, which is of no value in His sight. Listen, it may seem to be working out. You know, it doesn't mean that things won't work out. If we work out in the flesh, some people are blessed in the flesh to do. You know, he said it rains on the just and the unjust. But listen, what we're to be about as believers is to bring glory to God. That's our first and foremost. That's our first thing and that's our last thing and everything in between. Right. Everything we do when we put our hands to it is to be to the glory of God. When I do something in the flesh, I can't bring glory to God. It may seemingly work out, but it's not bringing glory to God. So I'm not fulfilling my purpose as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ when I step aside and do things in my own strength, when I lean to my own understanding. You see, I got puffed up. That's where that pride comes in. It puffs up, you know. Oh, I need to. You see what a mess you get into. But what I need to be doing and is doing the will of God and seeking the will of God and everything. And so when I'm doing that and I'm following the will of God, I'm bringing glory to His name in all that I put my hand to do. When I do something outside of that, I can't bring glory to God. It may fulfill some purposes, but it's not the purpose for which I'm designed to fulfill. So I'll reap the consequences of that. That which the Lord requires and desires is the obedience of love. That which the Lord requires and desires, I like the way he said it. He didn't just say he requires that, because that would almost seem legalistic, like the law is coming down. You've got to do this, although we have to do that. But it's not just that. Listen to how he says that. That which the Lord requires and desires. Don't you desire to do that which God desires you to do? Well, certainly you do. Our hearts have been changed. He made us willing in the day of His power, is what Psalms 116 says. And so we're willing to do what God designed us to do, what He desires us to do, and that's to be obedient out of love. He said, confidence in the Lord is now to be translated into conformity to His will. Confidence in the Lord is now to be translated into conformity to His will. Our ways, that is, all the details of our walk and of our lives, are to be made manifest, to make manifest our unreserved trust in the Lord. Brother Lamar read it this morning in Psalms 51. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, You will not despise. In other words, He doesn't despise it. He embraces that. He loves that. That brings Him honor and glory. A broken and a contrite, that is an humble or a penitent heart, God says, I will not despise. I will embrace that. I will love that, because that brings honor and glory to me. To acknowledge the Lord in all of our ways shows or signifies several different things. Don't have time to get into it this morning, so I'm going to stop right there. We've got about four things to look at when we come back next week. God help us as we understand the Word of God, what He's done to us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. By His amazing grace, He has enabled us to trust Him with all of our hearts and not lean to our own understanding. God help you is my prayer, for Christ's sake.